This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
It's DCR.
Cinco de Mayo.
Going to look forward to margaritas later on in the day. Maybe a little tacos on Wednesday, not tacos on Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday!
I'll have to give some thought to that. Maybe
okay.
Tequila later.
Why not start now? Get upstairs, sneak around like a ninja, grab some tequila. Let's get this party started.
You want me to get going now?
Yeah, let's light this thing up. Cinco de Mayo, come on. People expect it. They need it. They want it.
You think that people are tuning in thinking to themselves, boy, I hope Rothenberg is on a bender by 5:15 in the morning.
No, not bender. Loosen up a little bit.
I'm loose. I'm ready to go.
After watching that podcast, I don't know.
Whew. And welcome aboard. I'm Dave Rothenberg, and this is Rothenberg on Talk, our maiden voyage.
This is DCR.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter. So you sit up at the counter.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up where they have the flat top? What is that thing called? Oh my God, you're unbelievable.
I couldn't think of it.
The counter? You couldn't think of the counter?
No, I could not. For some reason. What? I could not think of the counter.
You know when you go to a diner and they have the flat top thing where the donuts are like under the glass thing, and what do they typically call that? Oh yeah, the counter. And you can hear Rick, Chris, when we say it, we're like we can't think it's as easy as just the counter he's thinking of. It's got to be something more difficult than that. But right, the counter.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top, what is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter. That's one of my greatest childhood memories, too, and I couldn't think of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Sit up at the flat top. What is that thing called? Oh, my God.
The thing that you sit at.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Where they have those high stools. You know, what are they? And the wait staff comes around and takes your order. What do they typically call that?
Wow.
I love your descriptions. I almost feel like the show Password, where you have to give clues but not say the word that you're thinking of.
I almost went high stools. If you didn't give me counter at that point, I was going high stools next.
You know that the high stools and you can sit there and order a meal. What do they call that? It was very highly shown in like Back to the Future with at the remember? The counter.
I had a moment. What do you want me to tell you? I had a moment.
I love it, though. But you didn't have a moment where you blanked on everything. You had a moment where you solely forgot the word. Because you
could,
like the flat top and the this, and you can sit up there.
It was a good description, though. No, you guys knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, but we were flummoxed. Like, we were like, wait, are you saying the counter? Like, listen to our voices when you're giving the description.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter.
It couldn't have been that easy, Dave. That's what it was. Like, it just couldn't have been as simple as a counter.
Well, I thought to myself, I feel dumb here because there's no way he's talking about the counter.
Yeah.
But that is, in fact. I wish you had gone for, like, you know, they have the high stools and the wait staff, and you can order and eat a meal right there at this very thing.
I'm telling you, that's where I was going. That was the next one. The high stools was next. That was my next clue without saying the actual word.
You don't have to sit in those other things where they like you sit side by side like the booth.
Not the one with the booth or the chairs, but right. You know, the high stools. Yeah.
The high stools and the you can get quick in and out and maybe order a bowl of soup with crackers and crumble them right in. What do they call that thing again?
And the register might be behind it.
That's right. And they bring the food right out. They ring the bell. What do they call that again? That's the know it.
You guys are bad guys.
Oh, yeah, we're
bad guys. You're ruining my whole... Your childhood moment is now ruined.
Oh, man.
You didn't even remember your childhood moment.
I remember. I can remember sitting at that high stool, ordering a delicious tuna fish sandwich.
I'm still stuck on Grandma Jenny breaking all the furniture with a hammer. Like, that's
Grandma Jenny is a savage, dude.
Why did she have to throw the furniture down the stairs to break it, by the way? Why couldn't she just have broken it where it sat?
All right, just for the effect.
The effect, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this clear it out.
Yeah, you can't... Don't underestimate my crazy.
Yeah.
Like, not only am I strong enough to just break it, I can pick it all up and carry it all the way to the stairs and throw it down.
That's
and
right.
Then break it.
Yeah. Now, when your grandfather got home, did she say, I took it over to these, this like a railing kind of thing, and and threw it down. I'm not familiar with the word. And he was like, the stairs? And she's like, yes, the stairs.
Yeah, you know those things you walk down to?
Right.
To get to the basement?
You can use
Apple,
them to go
hammer,
up and down things. Saw, maybe pair, maybe not.
One word. It's one word.
Forget what, oh, man.
If I were to go up, I would use these things. Or down, I would use these things. There's a railing. You know it. Sometimes made of wood. Carpeting can be on it as well. The stairs? Yes, the stairs.
See, you would love Nana Jenny too. Like, she's right up your alley. Like, she's got like a little element of like degenerate too, where she like really likes to gamble.
Oh, nice.
And like, we found out that her and her boyfriend Bobby were going like to this like this underground casino.
Uh-oh. So kind of like Rounders, kind of like Rounders with Matt Damon.
Hang on a second. 90-year-old grandmother, boyfriend, going to an underground casino.
Yeah, pay that man his money.
You got to tell me more about this, please.
Yeah, we found out, like, just in passing, she said it. She's like, oh, hey, she calls me Ricky. Ricky, me and Bobby found this great place. I was like, oh, man, where'd you guys go? She's like, it's this really nice gentleman. We go to his house, and he's got slot machines, and they bring us Entenmann's Danishes and coffee, and we just sit and play slots.
Your grandma, you're going to a counter, grandma?
I was like, man, that sounds illegal. She's like, oh, no, it's great. We love it.
Beautiful Danish.
This really does explain a lot about Rick, though, doesn't it, Dave?
I think it tells us everything.
It really explains a lot.
I love the fact that they bring her in with the Danish.
They bring the intimates.
Like the selling point, right? Like slot machines, fine, but the real selling point there is the Danish.
She loves the Danish. What can I tell you? Coffee Danish?
Oh, man.
Cheese Danish. Oh, delicious. All right, so let's spend a couple minutes before we get to the NFL and the Aaron Rodgers. I think it's fair to say this has now become a debacle with the Mets firing of their not only hitting coach, but hitting coaches led by Chili Davis. Pete Alonso was very, very confused and very, very upset with this going down. And here is the Mets first baseman.
So I'm going to be completely honest. So I found out on Twitter while I was eating my post-game meal, and I talked to Zach, our GM. It was a professional talk. Then I gave Slate and Chill two big old hugs, and then I cried at my locker for a little bit.
So he cried at his locker a little bit after this. But how about that? How bad of a look is it that he's finding out the hitting coach is being fired on Twitter?
Yeah, that's not great. I mean, that's not great. And listen, I mean, you can believe it or not. I'm going to choose to believe him that he was close with Chili Davis and Slater. I mean, Uncle Chili and Uncle Slates. But I mean, this is something that the more you read into it was a decision that felt like was at some point was inevitable, was going to happen. Like the whole Jared Porter thing happens, right? He's supposed to be your GM. That stuff comes out, so they fire him, and they bring in. They bring in the new GM, who actually worked with Chili Davis in
Boston.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I get people yesterday were like, well, if you're going to fire him, why didn't you fire him before the season started? Let's not forget, Chili Davis wasn't even with the team last year during the pandemic. He was at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was a virtual hitting coach last season. And offensively, they were pretty good. I mean, they were offensively outside of, you know, getting the big hit with runners in scoring position.
They were very good last year.
They were very good offensively. And, I mean, apparently, going into the season, What Zach Scott wanted to figure out is if Chili Davis had, from when he saw him in Boston to where he was at now, had done a better job embracing the more analytical, modern approach to hitting. And the guy, I mean, he was in hitting meetings and everything else. And because they got off to a slow start, I think it gave him the ability now to make a change that it felt like he was going to make anyway.
Well, here's the thing, man. I mean, not to say that you can't improve on things that you've been doing, but Chili Davis is 61 years old. I don't think he's going to change his philosophy when it comes to his approach with hitting or how he's instructing the guys on the Mets. So, I mean, in terms of the overall philosophy, if you're Zach Scott, this is something that you should know before you're coming into the season. Because if you can fire your hitting coach 23 games in, then you probably shouldn't have been your hitting coach when you started the season. That's just the reality of it. So, I mean, I feel like this was an opportunity to scapegoat the hitting coach just because the lineup, the offense hadn't been producing up to the expectations that the front office had set for him. But I mean, this is a bad look for the Mets. There's no other way around it. Like I just think that, you know, you have this situation, you couple that with, you know, what they were trying to do to kind of relax the situation with Donnie Diesel, the Fugazi approach coach that they're supposed to be working with. Like, it just ends up being a bad look for the Mets. And then the fact that the players are finding out on social media as opposed to the manager or somebody in the front office having a conversation with them ahead of the announcement. Like, that's just one of those things where you feel like this is taking a page out of the Mets in the Wilpon era. And that's not something that, you know, that's not something that you want to see with the Mets with this new regime.
But how many times have we said that now? And it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So Cohen has not owned the team for a year yet. How many times have we said, oh, here we go again? It feels like it's the same old Mets. The third or fourth time already with this regime, right? They had to fire the GM. You have this situation. You have him out there tweeting all over the place. This is not the first time we've seen this.
No, it's not the first time. And, I mean, we keep saying hopefully this is the last time, but at this point, I mean, I don't know how you can say that with any confidence. But again, to your point, Chris, I would, like, going into the season, right, Jared Porter was supposed to be the GM. Mm-hmm. They have to fire Jared Porter. So they end up promoting Zach Scott. Now, Zach Scott had obviously, like I told you, like he knows Chili Davis.
Yeah.
Again, he's seen him with the Red Sox. But again, he wasn't here last year. So he goes into the season with, you know, giving Chili Davis the opportunity to show him that, you know, he's the guy for the job. And the guy, I mean, I give him credit. I mean, he's going to hitting meetings and everything else. Like, he wanted to get a firsthand look at what was going on. And then they get off to a slow start. And I think that was just that was what he needed to make the change that he wanted to make.
Yeah, but if you were that close to wanting to make a change, why wouldn't you just make a change?
Yeah,
how do we know he has the power to start making changes? He just got the job. He's going to walk like he's lucky to even have the job. He's going to come in and start demanding people get fired?
I'm
going
to
replace this guy?
I think you go to ownership and you say, you know what, listen, I don't think this is the right guy for the job. So if we get out to a bad 23-game stretch, we can fire the guy, but until then we can't do that?
Well, obviously they didn't want to make changes, right? I mean, Luis Rojas is still the manager, isn't he?
That's right.
And do we agree with that?
No, I don't think anybody wants him.
No.
Okay, so I mean, this is again. Let's see. Like, we're not making any changes. The guy just gets the job. Let's see how it goes. And if it goes well, we'll keep it going. If it doesn't, then we got to make a change.
But here's my problem with what you're saying, Rico. It's still the smallest of sample sizes. You're talking about 23 games. Like, if we're 40 games in, 50 games in, man, I can understand it. Like, that's more time to get a real evaluation based on, okay, his philosophy, his process, you know, how he engages with the guys in terms of trying to instruct them, all of those things. Like, you can have a better idea of it if you're talking about a fourth of the season or a third of the season. But getting rid of the guy after 23 games?
But it's not the sample size. He wanted to make a change. It's clear that him and Chili, he does not think that Chili Davis is the kind of hitting coach that he wants. He doesn't fit the profile. They want a more analytical hitting coach. And the fact that Quattrobon was with, I mean, he's at the Major League camp for a month.
But if it only
if
it only took you 23 games to come to that decision, then you had already come to that decision before the season even started.
Well, it's a decision he always wanted to make. Yeah. He needed a little bit of proof to present to get that done. Here's the manager, Luis Rojas. Do you worry about more changes coming to the Mets?
No, those are the type of things that I do not think about, just because in my field, it's just very disrespectful to the group here to worry about that before worrying about the team. That's not my concern right now. I mean, my focus is on today's game, 100%. So nothing outside of that. So it's with all the respect to the guys in the room who work really hard on a daily basis, players and coaches, and all our staff that travels with us, and it's also at Citi Field. That's where my focus is. It's the game of the day.
Yeah, if you read between the lines, he says, yes, I'm worried about my job.
Well, here's the thing, though. I don't know. I don't know how much Sandy Alderson and Zach, I mean, the guy that we would want is Buck Showalter, right?
There's no way that's going to happen, though.
Exactly right. So we can sit here and pretend like, you know, Luis Rojas could be in trouble, but if it's the front office making decisions, and Luis Rojas is amenable to letting that happen, I mean, how is he really in jeopardy?
Probably not. If he's going to do whatever they want and take the bullets and the slings and arrows for whatever they want, then why would they want to move on from him?
Well, but that's probably why part of the reason why Chili Davis was let go is because Zach Scott had this is how I want you to approach how we hit. Like, we want to take an analytical approach. Chili Davis is like, no, this is my approach. This is what I do. And it hasn't worked, so it gave him the impetus to make the change. Like, he always, I mean, this is definitely a change that he wanted to make.
Of course it is.
And now because they got off to a slow start, it gives them – now I can go to Sandy and go, hey, I've been telling you, like, we need to
– and now there's proof, and now let's make the move. And that's what they did.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
One of your favorites, Rick, Bill Barnwell, has an article on ESPN.com, and it is titled – Aaron Rodgers' trade offers, 7 NFL teams and proposals ranked from least appealing to most attractive. Have you looked at this yet? And be honest.
No, I have not looked at it, no.
All right, Chris, you have, correct?
That is correct.
All right, 7 teams, Rick DiPietro. The floor is yours. What do you think? 7 teams, most attractive.
With my first, with my first selection, I will go with the Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos is number one.
Yes.
The Packers in this deal would get Patrick Surtain II, wide receiver Tim Patrick, quarterback Drew Lock, a 2022 first-round pick, and a 2023 first-round pick. And the Broncos get the grand prize, Aaron Rodgers. Number one, off the board. Number two.
All right, with my second overall pick, I will go with a team... I'll go with the Las Vegas Raiders.
The Las Vegas Raiders are, as I scroll through the list, number six.
Ooh, number six.
The Packers get Derek Carr, a 2022 first-round pick, a 2022 second-round pick, and a 2023 first-round pick for one Aaron Rodgers. 2 through 5 and 7 currently remain.
All right, I'm going to go with a team that has a really good defense, and I have no idea, because I keep hearing it, like, Greeny is all in, that the Washington football team is going to win the division, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's never, ever, 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 ever made the playoffs, is going to be the one to take him there. They didn't draft a quarterback. I'm going to go with the Washington football team on this list.
They're number two. The Ooh. Packers would get a 2022 first-round pick, a 2022 second-round pick, a 2023 first-round pick, and a 2023 second-round pick. So 2 ones and 2 twos for Ryan Fitzpatrick and Matt Ioannidis in this deal. Washington gets, of course, Aaron Rodgers. You've got 3, 4, 5, and 7.
That would be a scary proposition if...
Terrifying.
If Washington got
Terrifying.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it would.
All right, I'm going to have to say, I mean, we heard this. It's on his list now. I'm going to say the Giants.
The New York football Giants are number four.
We are the Giants.
The Packers would receive a 2022 first-round pick. The Bears' first-round pick from next year, which the Giants just acquired via the trade, and a 2023 first-round pick conditionally. And Darius Slayton and the Giants get Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not getting
we'll get
fleeced.
More into that. In just a moment. You've got 3, you've got 5, you've got 7. The odd number is giving you trouble here.
3, 5, and 7. 3, yeah. 5, and 7. I can't imagine that they want to trade him anywhere in the NFC. So there's got to be some AFC teams involved here up in the mix.
Okay.
This team was actually, I mean, he was linked to this team. And by he, I mean Deshaun Watson was linked to this team. This would be, I mean, maybe my worst nightmare if this did happen.
Yep. Go with it.
I'm going to go with my most hated of animals, the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, the terrifying dolphin. Could you imagine eating dolphin at the counter? That would be ultimately terrifying. The Dolphins are number 3. They would give up a 2022 first-round pick via the Niners, a 2023 first-round pick, the better of the Dolphins and the Niners, a 2023 fifth-round pick, and a 2022 first-round pick from the Steelers. So we're talking about 3 ones and a 5. And then the Steelers would get Tua from the Dolphins, and the Dolphins would get Aaron Rodgers. You better hope to God that doesn't happen.
No, that can't happen. Don't even say it. I'm already worried that they still may get Deshaun Watson. Don't say it, please.
All right, 5 and 7 on the board. 5 and 7.
5 and 7. Yeah. This would be another scary proposition. I don't know if this is on the list or not. How about the New Orleans Saints?
The Saints, no. I'm so sorry. Unfortunately, the Saints are not on the list. But you are in the right conference. You are, with both of the next two, you're in the right conference.
I'm in the right conference.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Carolina Panthers?
Nick, no. Oh, I'm sorry, you're not in the right conference. The other conference.
That's you just told me it was in the NFC. Now you're changing it up.
I made a mistake. It's on me. Not perfect. Go ahead. Other conference.
Other conference. The New England Patriots?
Nope.
Now playoff teams. They're playoff teams.
Now you're just guessing.
They're playoff teams, Rico.
Yeah, they are.
Well, I already said Denver. I said Vegas.
Neither
I said
of those
Miami.
Were playoff teams.
Well, no, but I said I said Denver. I said Vegas. I said Miami. Jets aren't a playoff team. The Bills are happy with their quarterback. Steelers have Big Ben. Is it Cleveland?
Cleveland!
Number five. Your Cleveland Browns. They get a 2022 first-round pick, a 2023 first-round pick. Baker Mayfield, the man that can run the stadium. He can run Lambeau Field and move right in there. And tight end David Njoku as well in exchange for Aaron Rodgers. And lastly, at number seven, they went to the playoffs, but they didn't win a game last year in the postseason, would be the
Tennessee Titans.
That's number seven. Ryan Tannehill, a 2022 first-round pick and a 2023 first-round pick as well. So it looks like you're giving up at least two, if not three ones, to the Packers for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If at any point you do decide to trade Aaron Rodgers, and this has been going on for a while. I mean, they've flown to see Aaron Rodgers, you know, three times already, and this thing is still not better. The second, at some point, you're going to have to, like, rubber's going to meet the road. And if you do end up making a deal, I mean, San Francisco offered you the third overall pick and probably more for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, wouldn't that have been the deal to make?
Not if they feel like Jordan Love eventually can be their franchise quarterback. I mean, they'd already have that in place. I just feel like, you know, having the third overall pick is great, but I mean, having multiple first-round draft picks, I mean, if you've got three first-round draft picks, like that's what you're looking for if you're the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, maybe you value next year's first-round picks more than you would value this year's first-round picks.
Yeah.
But think about this. You run through all the teams. Like, I mentioned this team, and you're like, yeah, you know what? I mean, I think every team would have a chance to have a monster season if the Titans add Aaron Rodgers, the sky's the limit, right? If the Raiders add Aaron Rodgers, God knows how good they could be. I think if the Browns add Aaron Rodgers, you could say they're one of the top two or three favorites in the entire AFC. If the Giants add him, I mean, if the Giants were to add Aaron Rodgers, do you not immediately say that's the favorite to win the NFC East? I mean, you don't even think about it.
I don't know, but Dave, here's the thing. If the Browns added Aaron Rodgers, I would call them the favorites in the AFC, even over Kansas City. Yeah.
Right. That's my point. Like, and I was kind of underselling it, saying they're two or three, but I think you could say one. But the Giants win the NFC East if they add Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, you're talking about, you know, a handful of teams that if you added Aaron Rodgers, they wouldn't be considered a contender. They wouldn't be considered a playoff team. There's only three or four teams out there like that. I mean, that's how good Aaron Rodgers is, and he's coming off of an MVP season. He's still at the height of his powers. So, I mean, listen, these trades that Bill Barnwell spells out, I mean, a lot of them make a lot of sense, but none more so than the Denver Broncos. So if you're John Elway, if you're Vic Fangio, you got to try to find a way to make that happen. Like, if there's a possibility that this could happen after June 1st, then you got to do it. You got to do it. There's no question about it in my mind.
Now, you lose him. He's one of the great quarterbacks we've ever seen. But it's not like you're not getting a ton in return. I mean, you're getting two ones. You're getting a rookie. I mean, it really three ones because Sertan was just, the eighth or ninth pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You get Drew Locke, and we don't know what he's going to be, and Tim Patrick. I mean, that's a haul in return.
No,
I'm not saying it's not a good trade for Denver, but you're giving up a lot.
No, I mean, you are giving up a lot, and the Packers wouldn't need to get a lot in order to justify making that kind of a deal because I'm sure Packers fans are trying to figure out what the hell Brian Gutekunst was doing to create the dynamic that is the relationship between Rodgers and the Packers organization right now. Like, to have an MVP player that's letting it be known that he doesn't want to play for you anymore, like, it didn't have to be this way. I mean, if there were better communication, the Packers could have still executed their plan last year and drafted Jordan Love. But the fact that they didn't tell Aaron Rodgers ahead of time, you know, open the door for this to play out the way that it is right now. So, I mean, it's going to take a haul for Packers fans and probably a lot of guys in that locker room to be able to get over the fact that you might have to move on from Aaron Rodgers. But that being said, it still doesn't mean you shouldn't do that deal.
It's quite, yeah, but quite now the, all of a sudden, though, too. I mean, yeah, but you can say they're going to get a ton in return, but, I mean, you've what you've done is you've closed your Super Bowl window.
That's right. You're done. You're now in full rebuild mode. So let me throw it out there to you guys. We'll throw it out there to the fans as well, and then we'll hear what Peter King thinks is going to happen with this whole Aaron Rodgers thing. If you're the Giants, would you do this trade? A 2022 first-round pick, the Bears' first-round pick next year as well, and a 2023. So let's just say 3 ones and Darius Slayton. In return, you get Aaron Rodgers. You now win this division. And how good can you be? I don't know. Let's get into that a little bit.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
You want to take a couple calls on Aaron Rodgers? You want to hear from Peter King on Aaron Rodgers? You tell me the direction right now to steer the ship.
Let's hear from Peter King.
Let's hear from Peter King. He was on with KJZ, and he says he doesn't think that Rodgers is going to be traded anytime soon.
There's never been a time that an MVP has been traded after being the MVP, the season after being the MVP. How would people react? What would happen? What would be the impact to careers in Green Bay? I haven't really thought of that, but I do think there's going to come a point where I do think they're going to have to consider whether they should trade him. I just don't see that happening soon.
This thing's going to play out for a while, isn't it?
I don't know how, if you're Green Bay, you trade him. I know he wants to get traded. I mean, do you force his hand?
Well, it sounds like he's going to be really dug in.
Yeah.
You've heard a lot of people say, I mean, so how about this Peter King, this is his the article that he puts out every single week. Monday morning, he says, there's a whole litany of things he says. And in the end, right now, my gut feeling, and that's all it is a gut feeling, is he'd prefer to not play football this year than to play for the Packers.
Yeah, and then you have Brett Favre coming out and saying that he doesn't think he's going to play either if the Packers don't trade him. So, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, based on where he's at in his career, he's made over $240 million. I understand there'd be some implications. He'd have to pay back some signing bonus money if he didn't play for the Packers and he did hold out. But, I mean, this is a guy that's capable of doing that. I mean, at this point, he's trying to compete for championships. It's not about how much money he can make, so... I mean, if it's a matter of principle with somebody as headstrong and as stubborn as Aaron Rodgers has shown himself to be over the course of his career, I wouldn't put it past him that he's willing to sit out. So, I mean, at this point, it might be a situation where the Packers might not have any choice. Now, the one thing that the Packers do have is the benefit of time, because even if they wanted to move him, they can't do so until after June 1st when they could spread the cap hit for Aaron Rodgers' salary over the 2021 and 2022 seasons. But, I mean, if he's dug in, then eventually the Packers aren't going to have any choice.
I can't imagine at his age, though, sitting on a season.
No, I don't know how you sit out a season and then come back. He'd be, what, 38 years old?
He turns 38 in December, yeah.
So it would be strange. But, I mean,
I don't think he would be forced to sit out a season, though.
I don't think
so. That's my whole point. Like, if he didn't report to training camp and we got to week one or week two of the regular season and he still hadn't reported – eventually, the Packers are going to be like, you know, we're going to trade him because we got to get something in return for this asset. We just can't have an asset that's depreciating and not moving our program forward. Yeah, I think with the Carson Palmer situation, he was traded, what, 6 weeks into the season, 7 weeks into the season, something like that? So I could absolutely see something like that playing out with Aaron Rodgers this year.
And that was kind of my point, is that at some point, if you are the Packers, don't you have to move on from him? Like, you can't get nothing in return. You can't play chicken with a guy that could potentially retire. I mean, we're talking about 2, 3, 4 number one picks right now. That's franchise changing. I understand he's great, but I mean, that helps the rebuilding process a heck of a lot.
Yeah, but that's a tough pill to swallow too. I mean, especially
it's terrible.
If everything you've heard about Jordan Love is true, then I mean, he can't play
lost.
Right now.
Yeah.
I mean, all we heard in Canty, we were beating the drum for Pat Mahomes because everything we were told was Pat Mahomes is lighting up practice. And everyone on the field is like, this dude needs to play.
And everybody told us we were crazy for saying that.
Every single person told us we were crazy. Oh, this is a playoff team. You can't replace Alex Smith. Like, we're telling you right now, this is what you should do. Eventually they listened. But, I mean, if that's the case, and I haven't heard one person, not one single person, say that Jordan Love is ready to play?
Not exactly apples to apples. I don't think Alex Smith is Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think Jordan Love is Patrick Mahomes.
No, I would agree with that.
Saying that.
I would agree with that, Dave. But here's the one thing that we got to do when we talk about Jordan Love. We got to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit, just because it was a very strange year for his rookie season. Like, you didn't have OTAs, you didn't have mini camp, you didn't have a real training camp in preseason games. So it's hard for a kid to kind of show what he's got when he doesn't have those opportunities to get acclimated to the NFL and to progress in his development. Like, so I get that Jordan Love might not have lit it up in practice, but I mean, until we get the kid in game situations, whether it's preseason or the regular seasons, we can't make any determination as to what he's going to be. But the fact that the Packers decided they were going to draft him, knowing what that would do with the relationship with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you got to have some conviction behind the decisions that you make as an organization.
Well, let's get to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. Eddie in Westchester. Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I would think for best for both organizations would be Rodgers and the rookie that they picked up to Buffalo for Josh Allen. And
why is Buffalo going to make that trade?
Josh Allen right now?
To win a Super Bowl that they never had before.
They were just in the AFC Championship game with a quarterback on a rookie deal.
And they think they're going to win a Super Bowl, at least one with Josh Allen. Why would they make that deal?
Aaron Rodgers is going to be 38 in December.
To win the Super Bowl right now, they went to the AFC Championship game. They just went there and lost to a team that many think is you know, one of the great teams we've seen in football over the last God knows how long. Why would you possibly make that trade?
So what you're saying, Josh Allen is better than Aaron Rodgers,
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that right now, if you told me age-inclusive, I could have Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers, I would absolutely take Josh Allen.
I mean, that's not even a question.
Yeah, I think most general managers in the National Football League would make
25?
That same decision.
Josh Allen is 24. He'll be 25 in May.
He's 24 years old or 37?
You got one guy that's just turned to 24, and the other guy that's just turned 25, and the other guy's turning 38.
So I can have 10-plus years, or I can have 2-plus years. I'm pretty confident in the answer there.
Yeah, but on top of that, why would you trade? I mean, not only are you trading him, Josh Allen, who, I mean, you've seen every single year he's gotten better, to the point where, I mean, there were times last year where he's in the MVP conversation. He's 24, going to be 25 years old. You're going to trade him, who was a first-round pick, and more first-round picks?
If you called up Green Bay right now and said, we'll give you Josh Allen for Aaron Rodgers, I think they would do it immediately.
I don't even think that's a – I mean, that solves a lot of different
I don't think you have to put anything
on.
They'd run to make that deal. Sean and Newton. Sean, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're doing good, Sean. What's up?
Good. Guys, why doesn't anybody bring up the fact that they did draft Jordan Love? Why don't they try to create these trades where, yeah, you got a couple firsts, but then you try to fill other holes that the Packers may have, maybe another lockdown quarter, maybe a pass rusher. You got to get more athletic in that division now. You're going to have two mobile quarterbacks in the future in Minnesota and Chicago. I'll listen to your answers off air, guys. I think that they have a lot of other holes that they could fill with perennial all-stars than supposed to just a quarterback.
Yeah, Sean, I just brought that up. I mean, you got to have some conviction behind the decisions that you make as an organization, and you decided that Jordan Love would be your future at some point in the next several years. Like, they made that decision knowing how that would affect Aaron Rodgers, knowing that that would put a lot of strain on Rodgers' relationship with the Packers organization. So, I mean, you've already dealt with – well, you're dealing with the headaches of the decision that you knew – we're going to come along at some point. Like, at some point, Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, when they made the decision to draft Jordan Love, knew Aaron Rodgers was going to be pissed off about it. And they decided to go down that road. And now that we're here, even though Aaron Rodgers is coming off of an MVP caliber season, if Aaron Rodgers decided that he wanted to sit out rather than play for you, then, I mean, you're going to have to turn to Jordan Love sooner than you thought. But, I mean, I don't necessarily think that that's the worst thing in the world, especially when you look at the landscape of your division. You'll still probably be considered the favorite, especially with the haul that you would bring back for trading Aaron Rodgers. So, to me, have some belief in the decision that you made as an organization. Like, you don't like the fact that the quarterback is forcing your hand, but you're at this point right now. If he's not going to play for you, then at least use him as an asset to improve your football team.
Let's go to Tony in the Bronx. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I think that if that was what was on the table for the New York Giants, I think you got to do it in a heartbeat. Granted, I do think that the deal would be a little rich considering his age and considering, you know, the fact that you may have a little leverage on the Giants or any other team for that matter, considering that he's asking to get out of there. I think the longer that time goes by, the Packers lose their leverage because then they're eventually going to have to get rid of him and they're not going to be able to demand as much as they might have originally. But, you know, you slot Aaron Rodgers in for the next two, potentially 3 years, and the biggest frustration that I've had as a Giants fan is with the mistake of, in my opinion, drafting Saquon. Now you get an opportunity to maximize Saquon for the next 3 years if he can stay healthy, which has been frustrating because you feel like you've had Saquon for the past three seasons and you've gotten absolutely nothing out of him. Now, granted, he has been hurt, so it's not totally the Giants' fault, but it's like almost a wasted pick, wasted talent. Now you slide Rodgers in, and hopefully you'll be able to make something happen at least for the next two to three years. So we'll see.
2 to 3 years is a small window. And I guess my question would be, do you guys think the Giants would have any real chance of winning a Super Bowl in the next 2 to 3 years?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
With Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to be considered the favorite in your division. So if you get to the playoffs and you got Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback and you're hosting a home playoff game, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think you can be a contender with Aaron Rodgers if you're the New York Football Giants.
So if that's the case, I mean, if you tell me that I'm a contender to win the whole thing, I think long and hard about making a trade like that.
I mean, you got a top 10 defense, Dave. Top 10 defense. You fortified your skill positions this offseason. The offensive line continues to be a work in progress, but think about having Aaron Rodgers with all those playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, it becomes, you take a quantum leap. I mean, so yeah, can they be a contender with Aaron Rodgers over Daniel Jones? Yeah. Now you're mortgaging a lot of your future. I mean, you'd be trading a lot of first round picks. But, I mean, that's the benefit of the move that you made this past weekend when you decided to trade back from 11 to 20. You picked up an extra first-round pick. So you could trade three first-round picks, and that'd only be the first-round picks you have over the next 2 years. So, I mean, you'd be mortgaging your future a little bit, but you're talking about getting an MVP player in Aaron Rodgers.
You sure are. Would you do it, Rick?
I mean, listen, it would be a tough decision.
It's tempting, isn't it?
It's very tempting, too, because now all of a sudden you become a destination, too. You know, just like Tampa became a destination. Like, if you're an older player looking to try to chase a championship, and it's the Giants, I mean, you could sign with the Giants and try to do that. That is tempting. But again, I mean, you're like, you'd have the same kind of expectations that the Brooklyn Nets have, that if you don't, like if you've mortgaged that kind of...
You have to now win.
You have to win now.
You have to now win. All right, we'll get back into Aaron Rodgers in the 7 o'clock hour. It is now time. Well, you know. Go ahead.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
All right, let's go. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Now, Andy from Merrick is not available this morning, I'm being told. But he has, because he's dedicated to this, what do you call that thing where you do a thing and you take calls? A segment, right? He's dedicated to this segment. RJ, he has sent you a question, correct?
That is correct.
Now, do you find this worthy of leading off Stump Rothenberg, or do you think we should go to Rick to launch off here?
No, I think we can jump off here. This is Andy's spot, so I'll do my best to honor him.
Okay.
So, here's your leadoff question. Patrick Ewing is, of course, the Knicks' all-time leader in blocks.
Yeah.
Very simply, who is number two?
Now, I think Marvin Webster would be someone that would jump into my mind. Marvin Webster. Who else do the Knicks have that is just huge? Would it be Webster? It's got to be a guy that spent a long time with the organization.
Aminu Muhammad, baby.
No, it's not Aminu Muhammad. God. why Webster jumps out. I mean, is it?
You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter.
Yeah. Could it be? See, I don't think Camby was there long enough.
This is getting, this is, now you're getting crazy now. Let's go.
do you know the answer?
No, it's not called Stump DiPietroberg. It's called Stump Rothenberg.
All right. Well, I don't appreciate you, you rushing me through here. I'm going to go with the human eraser. No, I don't know. Could it be Cartwright?
Your nipples have been called that before.
Could it be,
So, in
you see how walked right past that? You know what?
So, in the interest of time, I can tell you, I'll give you a big hint. You have said the name that is number two. You've said a few names, but you have said the correct answer.
I said Camby. I said, I don't know if I said Cartwright. I'll go with Marvin Webster. Final answer.
Oh, it's tough. Bill Cartwright, number two, one block ahead of Marvin the Eraser Webster.
Oh.
One block.
Because he rushed me. That's why. If I would have had
rushed
more time
you
to really think it through, I think
oh
I might have gotten
God
it right.
This is not your podcast. We don't have unlimited time. Even RJ was saying, he's trying to give you hints.
And welcome aboard. I'm Dave Rothenberg, and this is Rothenberg Untucked, our maiden voyage.
Oh, well, so unfortunate. All right, we're 0-1. Rick, what do you got?
All right, here we go. In honor of hopefully what we see tonight in the Rangers-Washington Capitals game.
Okay.
Who
Are
has
you going hockey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
You say be topical.
Go ahead.
And he just went Knicks. I had a Knicks question, too, but I'm going to go hockey. Who has the most career NHL fights? Most career NHL fights.
I mean, you think Brashear. You think Tiger Williams. You think Dave Schultz. Ay, ay, ay. Is it one of those three? Is there someone more? Is it Domi? I'm going to go with... Oh, God. So I'm thinking Dave Williams. Could be Chris Nyland. I'm going to go with Domi.
Ty Domi is correct, Dave Rothenberg.
Yes.
1-1,
nice,
baby.
Dave.
I got very nervous
nicely
there.
Done.
I don't know if the music just stopped.
Yeah, I actually thought my Comrex went out.
I looked at my Comrex. I was like, oh, God, I'm out. And my first thought was Rick's going to have to take the show, and that could go right off the rails. All right, we're 1-1. All right, whew, we're back. This is very stressful. All right, let's go to the Hawkeye, Long Island. Hawkeye, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, guys. In honor of Cinco de Mayo, which is today, who was the first NFL head coach born in Mexico?
There's more than one head coach born in Mexico?
I don't know if there's more than one. I didn't research it that far, but I know who was the first.
I don't know.
No.
Could it be Ron Rivera? Could it be Tom Flores? I think Tom Flores is Mexican.
It's got to be Flores, right, Dave? Has to be.
Yeah. All right. You pushed me. I hope you pushed me correctly. I'll go Tom Flores.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Interestingly, you had the right initials and even the right first name, but it was the first coach of the New Orleans Saints, Tom Fears. The old L.A. Rams Hall of Fame wide receiver. He was their first coach. He was actually born in Mexico and didn't move to this country until he was 6 years old.
All right. Well, there you go.
It's a rough day for Rothenberg.
Well, I think these are very difficult questions.
That's not an easy question.
That's a tough question. All right. Let's go to Rick in Sunnyside. Rick, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, how are you, Dave? Here's my question for you today. Between 1980 and 1991... Ricky Hatton won the American League stolen base title.
I didn't hear what you said. What did you say? What happened between 80 and 91?
Okay. So, yeah, between 1980 and 1991, Ricky Henderson won the American League stolen base title every season except for one. Who beat him out?
I wonder if it's Ron LaFleur. I don't know if it was... That was in the 80s. Gosh. Willie Wilson, Ron LaFleur, Harold Reynolds. Those are the names that come to mind. I don't think Kenny Lofton was there, but I think LaFleur was in the 70s. Wilson was definitely in the 80s, but I don't know if he... I'm between Wilson and Harold Reynolds. You guys have... you won't help me, I know. All right, I'm going to go... It happened one time that he was beaten out?
Yeah, only one time, yes.
I'm going to go with Harold Reynolds, but I definitely could be one of those
guys. My hat's off to you, Dave. Good job, Harold Reynolds.
All right.
1987.
Okay. All right. Very good. That's 2-2. Yep. We move along. Well, maybe we'll take maybe one more, maybe two. I don't know. Sal and Duchess, who loves this segment more than any. Sal, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, Sal.
How are you guys doing? Good.
We're
all
great.
Right.
We're great. Excellent. Go ahead.
There we go. Vice President. No, I take it back. President of the United States. Which one has thrown the most ceremonial balls for opening day?
You got to figure it's a two-term president, right?
Right. I can't say too much because
I'm not looking for anything. I'm not looking for you to tell me anything.
I know. But last week on Saturday, when I said the number of the Super Bowl, he says you got it easy. I got too excited.
Sal, if you gave us the date, would it help?
Well, two term. I don't remember the date. But thanks, DiPietro. You.
I'm going to say George W. Bush, because he was the owner of the Rangers as well. Oh. Final answer. Oh, man.
It was FDR.
All right.
You should have taken the clue, Dave.
I thought it was George W. Bush. I'd like that looked up by our crack staff back at the station. But all right. Wait, what? Raymond,
you should have taken the clue.
What did you say,
overthought
Ray?
It. He had 11 first day pitches.
No, but he's tied though. He's tied with George Bush.
Who is?
FDR is tied with George Bush for most ceremonial pitches.
Oh, so then I got it right.
Which is it says FDR.
No, I know. What do you mean I get a
11,
half right? I got it right.
Which is also tied with George W. Bush for most presidential
That's
first
not fair. He didn't say there's two guys.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I'll give that to Dave, too. Yeah. 100%.
If he would have said there's two guys, but he said who's the guy? I said one of the guys.
I know you'll get it.
I don't want the year. All right.
Maybe he should have given you the year.
He could have said the era, and then I would have gone with that guy. But that's not fair.
So give me the year. I know you'll get it.
He's got to say these two are tied.
That's right. If I get one of the two, and he tells me there's one, I think I get it right.
I'll give you credit. You're 3-2.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.